Will everyone take their seats? It's time to get started. They moved him. Okay, this is a call to order. May we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Gilliland?
Here.
Council Member Handy Peters?
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Matusik is excused. Mayor Sarsic is excused. Councilman Emter? Commissioner Curry is excused. Vice Mayor McGurk?
Here.
Mayor Kelly?
Here.
Council Member Ford?
Here.
Vice Mayor Long?
Here.
Council Member Daniels? Councilmember Patterson?
Here.
Councilmember Denny's?
Here.
Councilmember Cusack?
Here.
Councilmember Northey?
Here.
Councilmember Wagner? Commissioner Basso?
I guess I'm here.
Mayor Sowell?
Here.
Councilmember Saylor?
Here.
Councilmember Perrone?
Here.
Mayor Jennings? Mayor Gibson?
Here.
Mayor Ardell?
Here.
Commissioner Shoup is excused. Linda Costello?
Here.
Clay Irvin is excused. Gillis Glaze?
Here.
Bob Stork's excused. And we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. May you, let's stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, well, we want to welcome everybody as we start our new year with the TPO. And we also have a new member. I'd like to introduce Lita Handy Peters from DeBerry. So she's joining us now. Okay. Now we have public comment, and I have one person to speak. Big?
Big John, 120 State Avenue on the Hill. I knew you when you were young, long time ago. I know it's near election time because Princess Patty's throwing all the sexual stuff at me out here. So, at any rate, but I'm avoiding it. Hey, listen, the ISB corridor study, did you guys have anything to do with that?
The ISB
corridor? Pull your mic down. It has to be right in front of your mouth.
Okay.
And by the way, I think that you were a pleasant surprise, Madam Chair. You did way better than I thought you were going to do. And if everyone would use their mics, it would help the old people in the audience. Do you guys have anything to do with the ISB corridor study?
Yes, Lois, can you respond to that?
We sat on that committee as a stakeholder. That was a project that was funded by and managed by the Department of Transportation. I do participate in the ISB coalition meetings.
Can we get a report to see if we're going to ever finish the study?
We can certainly follow up with the department and
yeah.
talk about what that's headed.
Yeah. I have other questions for the FDOT. I've gotten some complaints on the radio. One of my 16 listeners said that why can't you do it in 2 or 3 mile increments instead of the whole stretch, and how long is the whole stretch, and do we have safety lanes on both sides? If you cannot answer these questions today, I'm patient and old. You don't have to answer them right away. Okay? And my Joshua. Joshua, you told us several months ago that you would be uncovering your diabolical plan for the 1 cent or half cent sales tax. Is it still coming forward?
Am I allowed to respond to any comments?
Yes.
Come ask the question.
Please do.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
What happened was is I've been waiting to bring it out at the strategic meeting with the council out of respect for them, and the meeting got pushed, and it's finally got a date. I think I just got the
April
6th. I just got the invite the first week in April. I've been waiting for that just because I've tried not to. It seemed to
will
have
we gotten... move, will we miss the 2014 election?
I hope not.
Thank you very
much. I can tell you it's
thank
important.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Big. Is there any other public comment at this time? Okay, bringing it back to the consent agenda, do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All right, or does anyone have any discussion or items that they want moved? It was Pat.
I did.
And Pat. Okay. All right. No questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay. Moving along to the action items. All right. Number one, we have the Volusia TPO. No, I'm sorry. All right. Review and approval of the resolution 2014-01 amending the 2013-14 Unified Planning Work Program. And Lois, will you fill us in on that?
Thank you. And good morning, everybody. Our UPWP, Unified Planning Work Program, is the two-year document that explains how we are spending the financial resources that are available to us, what sort of studies we're pursuing. And when we build that document, it is based on a lot of estimates of how we're going to be spending our time, estimates on the amount of funding that's available. And over the course of that two-year period, we have adjustments that are provided to us on the amount of planning funds available, the amount of transit planning funds. Sometimes we have grants that come in. So we're at the point where we're at the last 6 months of that two-year period. How we've spent our time is a little different. Of course, we've had a lot of staffing changes over that period of time. Some projects have been delayed a bit. Some areas we didn't spend as much money as we thought, for example, with reapportionment. And so what we did was we went back and we took a look at the UPWP and how we've allocated the funding. We've looked at our staff time and how we expect to spend that over the last remaining 6 months. And we've made and recommended some adjustments to that document so that we have the financial resources under the tasks that we need them and that we free up the excess dollars. And what will happen in those areas where they're unspent, we will end up rolling those forward into the next UPWP. So those become carryover funds. And so at this point, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Any questions? Okay, do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. All right, now we move on to B, review and approval of Resolution 2014-02, approving the adjusted urban area boundaries for Volusia County. Okay.
So I think this board has seen and approved a draft of the adjusted urban boundaries that was submitted to Federal Highway for review, and we have since discussed the recommendation by Federal Highway to remove one small piece of those expanded boundaries, which was the Farmington Gateway, an area just south of State Road 442. We have gone back and had discussions with the local jurisdictions as well as Federal Highway about the removal, the recommended removal of that piece. I think everybody here locally from Edgewater and from Volusia County at this point have been comfortable with that decision. And so I would look for you all to, we're happy to answer any questions, but I'd look for you all to go ahead and recommend approval of the adjusted boundaries.
Is U.S. 17 in on some of this?
Well, the adjusted boundary, and there should be a map that's provided. It isn't necessarily road specific. So at this point, the adjusted urban boundary in West Volusia extends up as far as De Leon Springs. It does not extend all the way up into Pearson.
It's not what?
It doesn't extend all the way up to Pearson, at least for the urban boundary. Now, we have the next item, which is classifying roads. And your question may be pertaining more to the classification of U.S. 17 and road and the highway up in Pearson.
Okay. Any further questions?
Move approval.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Moving right along. Review and approval of Resolution 2014-03, approving the federal functional classification of roadways for Volusia County.
Okay. So this is a related item, and I am going to go ahead and bring staff up to go ahead and talk about some of the detail of this. There is a table that's been provided in your package. When we adjust or we smooth these urbanized boundaries, we then move on and look at the roadways themselves, and we classify the roadways in various levels. And those classifications affect funding as well as design of the roadway and function of the road. So we've conducted a review of the affected roadways, and staff at the technical level have looked at these classifications and provided comments and recommendations. So I'm going to go ahead and ask Jean Parlow to come on up. She's the TPO staff member that has taken the lead on this and worked with the DOT consultant on these particular projects.
Good morning, TPO staff. DOT has been working on this effort for the past 6 months with the county, local jurisdictions, and the TPO staff. Heather Roberts has been the lead on that for DOT, and I'm actually going to introduce her to give you the overview and the update on where we're at.
Heather Roberts with Kinley Horn, consultant to FDOT. So we reviewed the functional classification network here in Volusia County. We've been working closely with the county and the local governments on this effort. The table that you see, I believe there was an updated printout over there this morning. There were two minor tweaks that we discussed yesterday with the technical group. One was John Anderson Drive in Ormond. That facility is going to be a local facility, not a minor collector, and those limits are from Halifax to State Road 40. The other minor change was in the city of DeLand, and that would be to add Wisconsin as a minor collector from 1792 east over to Amelia. Other than that, the table is the same as it was. Those are the only two questions that came up with the TCC yesterday, and they recommended to approve as amended, and we'd like to ask for your approval of that functional classification network as well.
Okay, anyone have questions for Heather? Okay, and no questions. Did we get a motion and a second on that? May I have one? Okay.
Second.
All right, Pat seconded, and who moved for approval? Okay. All right, Harry did. All right, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. All right, D, review and approval of Resolution 2014-04 amending the 2013-14 to 18 Transportation Improvement Program. Robert?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are four specific items that are under this particular agenda item, and I'm going to have Bob go ahead and talk about each one. Just as a reminder to you all, this is a sort of a unique month in terms of meeting for the MPO, the TPO. The TCC and CAC, instead of meeting a week before, met yesterday. And so at your place settings, there are meeting summaries from the TCC and the CAC meeting. Normally you have those a week in advance to think about and to review with staff if there are any issues. But I'm going to have Bob go ahead and go through each of the four items that are on this particular agenda item to make sure you're clear about what actions were taken in discussion from the TCC and the CAC, because there were some important items for you to note.
Thank you. The first of the amendments is Cali Grande Railroad Crossing in Holly Hill. The proposal is to add some funding to that. As you probably remember from previous reviews, railroad projects are done by the railroad themselves, and we had gotten a preliminary estimate from the FEC Railroad in this case and programmed that amount. They have come back with a revised estimate, which is higher, so we're suggesting that we increase the amount of funding in that project. Both committees were fine with that amendment. The next two amendments as one. They were both PD&E studies, one on U.S. 17 north of State Road 40 to Putnam County. The other one was the PD&E on State Road 472 between I-4 and U.S. 17. And the TCC had concerns about the removal of the State Road 472 PD&E. They were not sure that the limits of, well, actually, we'd been assured by DOT that the I-4 managed lanes study would address concerns with that 472 roadway. But the TCC is somewhat unconvinced that the limits of that I-4 project will actually address all of the concerns under the 472 PD&E. So they've recommended that not be included until they have some assurances that the limits will be consistent. On the State Road, the U.S. 17 PD&E, the Citizens Advisory Committee expressed concerns that there were still safety considerations out there that needed to be addressed, and they wanted some assurances that those concerns would be addressed in a safety audit or some other means before that project would be removed from the TIP. And finally, the TCC expressed some concern regarding a pedestrian improvement project on U.S. 92, State Road 600, or International Speedway Boulevard. That project involves two pedestrian overpasses and some sidewalks along U.S. 92, as well as some lighting improvements and drainage improvements. The total project cost is about $20 million, $21 million. And the TCC wanted some assurances that that expenditure of state funds for the project would not count against our fair share allocation of state funds from DOT. So there it is, the mixed recommendations from the TCC and the CAC. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, Pat?
Yeah, the Project 1C there, the State Road 40 to Putnam County lineup. So y'all are going to look at that carefully? Or there, what's going to happen there? I mean, to delete it at this point, how does that affect the folks in the Northwest area? It is part of my district on the county council, and I do have some concerns. I know there's going to be the widening of 17 from De Leon Springs up to State Road 40, I believe. Something I've seen in the paper about that, but does this just push that project out for a while or what?
Well, I think at this point, if I could address that, the department has committed to doing what they call a high-level safety screen, doing a bit of a safety analysis to see if there are any issues that need to be looked at. There was some debate over the assumptions that were used in terms of future traffic growth. And, you know, I think that it was recognized by the TCC members as well as by staff that a full-blown PD&E doesn't necessarily make sense at this point, that any road improvement would be so far out that it would either result in a no-build scenario or it would result in a recommendation that doesn't get funded for so long that the PD&E would start to age on the shelf. But I think it has been recognized that something else is needed. So the CAC, the Citizens Advisory Group, actually pulled that item. They passed this, recommended the remainder of the package, but they pulled that item pending more clarification from DOT about what they would do. The TCC was comfortable moving it along with recognition that the department was going to do something. So at the staff level, what we plan to do based on the TCC's direction is continue to work with the department to bring back information that came or comes from the high-level screen, and then if there are additional operations analysis or information we'd like them to look into, that we would go ahead and make that request directly. To be fair to the department, they've responded to each request that has come from this board. It's just the response still hasn't gotten, I think, all of our members and the folks in Pearson where they want to be in terms of feeling comfortable about the road itself and how it functions. So we're going to continue to look at it outside of the PD&E.
I think sometimes my folks up there in Pearson, the Seville, kind of feel like the lonely child, you know, or the redheaded stepchild. So when something like this happens, it raises some eyebrows. Now, Mayor, do you have any questions? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's good.
Well, the only thing is this was brought up 3 or 4 years ago. We have a brand new high school up there in Pearson. All the kids from De Leon Springs and part of the land go up there. And if few people ever get on that route about 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the morning, and all these firm people pulling those buggies and trying, I've seen the traffic backed up from there to what we call Strong's Packing House. That is dangerous. For somebody to not recognize that, I cannot understand that. And then we've got a new school getting ready on the north end of Pearson, right on 17. Well, something's got to be done there. The traffic, I don't know who checks the traffic, but I will guarantee you today it's three times more than it was 2 years ago. Now, where it's coming from and who checks it, I don't know that. But there's way more traffic now than there was just 3 years ago. And we feel like, you know, that if there's no money to build roads, that's fine. Close everybody down. I mean, how can you justify building a road over here someplace, and that road is needed, and there's nothing going on? We just can't figure that out. So, and I appreciate all the help everybody does. And I think there's a lot more studying should be going, you know, to that area up there. Thank you.
And it was, the direction and comments from the Citizens Advisory Committee to be sure that we work with Volusia County Schools as well to make sure that we understand where they're headed and what's happening in terms of the circulation, traffic circulation, and its impact on student access to the schools.
I was talking to the principal up there. We've got 300 more kids this year there than we had last year. So there's growth that's got to be there. So, I mean, I don't know what to say, but... We appreciate everything you do. We know we're on the out, but 17 again is the only part of 17 that is not four lane from the Leon Springs to the Putnam County line. Even Crescent City got a four lane. But I don't know. We just can't. We feel like, you know, like our councilman said, that we kind of throwed out of the way for a while. But
yeah, it's like
we're not going to have any growth in that area until that four lane's there. And when that comes, we can start helping Volusia County, you know, with the taxes and other stuff. So that's where we stand. We appreciate all the help. We need it. Thank you.
Well, it's like a drag strip from Leon Springs all the way up into those areas. I know I've traveled it enough getting up and around the area. So, and then we kind of forget about the folks who live out there by the river, you know, that have to come in. And it's there's a lot of traffic out there, but you got to go traveling that road quite a bit to know what's there. And Putnam County, that four lane, the former chair of the Transportation Committee kind of made that happen. So,
okay, Ron?
Yes, the area of 472 out there seems to me like most people I'm talking to when it comes to that are more concerned about when's the study going to start taking place, because that's the first step of it. And they're hearing it 20 years from now when they're finally going to study it. And some people are hearing it this year. And little things like that could make a difference if we could find that information out.
We can certainly get that back to you. And I do want to be clear about the State Road 472. The TCC did include that as part of their recommendation. They didn't remove that from their particular vote. They just wanted to make sure that the department was consistent with the limits of that project. So the original PD&E request had limits that were a little broader and reached a little farther into the city of Deltona. And the revised limits as a part of the I-4 study were a little bit shorter. And so we wanted to make sure that the department was responsive and understood that we needed that to go a little farther into the city limits.
Okay, Ed?
Just one question on the Caligrande project, which is going from 470 to 500 and something. I guess it's 472 to 559. The broader question, I'm sorry I didn't get with you earlier, is I really wasn't aware that funding could come from here. In Ormond Beach, all of our railroad crossings, we've always had to pay for every single thing that was done. And just maybe you're smiling because you know. I don't understand why the city, and I'm not against the city of Holly Hill, I just want some of it myself for Ormond Beach and find out how we can go about getting it, because the railroad tells us what they're going to do and then they bill us for it. And I don't understand.
It's the difference between, I think, the general road maintenance and the installation, in this case, of a new pedestrian facility.
Well,
so
that's
we're building sidewalks.
But that's being created by Volusia County, the sidewalk.
I think it was actually a project application from the city itself.
It was under the bike ped.
The city of Holly Hill.
Project process.
So they want to put a sidewalk. I mean, I travel
this
that road, not every day, but I travel it. I don't know that there's that many pedestrians, but I mean, I'm sure to put a sidewalk to generate another $600,000 worth of expenditure to a railroad track? I mean, just seems a little bit like a waste of money created by doing something that may or may not be necessary. But I'll leave it at that. Put my card down.
Okay. All right. Any more questions for Bob? All right. Can I have a motion? Rob.
We've got a conflict with the US 17, where the CAC said we'll leave it on the tip, and the TCC is asked to remove it. So the motion is going to have to address which one of the recommendations we accept, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
You want to make that motion? Or anyone?
I'll make the motion that all four of the CAC recommendations be accepted, and that we leave 17 in the TIP.
Okay. All right, do we have a second?
Second.
All right, any further discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. All right, moving right along the presentations. We have a presentation of the draft, the 2014, 2015, and 2015-2016 Unified Planning Program. So, Lois?
So with one of the earlier agenda items, I reminded you all of what the UPWP is for this organization. And we're moving into the last 6 months of the current UPWP, which means it's time to create the UPWP that'll cover the next two-year period, which will begin this July. So what I've put together is a table that's in your agenda packet that lets you know on average what we spend under each of the categories per year, and then again, a rough estimate of what we would propose for the first and second year of this new UPWP. And again, for our work program, there are a certain number of tasks and activities that we are required to do. And once we determine how much time and effort and finances are going to be spent on those particular activities, we can allocate the remaining funds to any sort of planning activities that we think are going to be the most advantageous for this particular planning area. So I'm not going to review every item, but I will go ahead and call your attention to a few items that I think are important. The second item on the list, 1.02, which is IT and website, and you'll notice that in the first year there's a pretty significant bump up. And that is for two reasons. One is that we'll be reissuing our IT support contract. And the more, you know, bells and whistles and features we have, the more expensive it is to have IT specialists come in and help us with that. In addition, although it seems like we just rolled out our new website in the last year or two, it's actually, by the time we get into this, going to be 5 years. And after 5 years, there's lots of changes. So we want to go ahead and bring a consultant in to help us sort of revamp and update and modernize our website. Moving further down to item 3.02, which is the Transportation Improvement Program, our staff is spending much more time on project-specific issues, working with the local governments and working with the Department of Transportation to make sure that projects are developed well and can move forward to implementation. And so we're allocating a little more time to dealing with issues of project specifics in the TIP. Again, moving further down, 3.04, the Corridor Improvement Programs. This was originally a set-aside. We used some XU money that we put towards planning to look at some specific corridors. That particular allocation of funds is sort of wrapping up, and so we will exhaust the existing funds, and we're not asking for any additional funds for additional corridors at this point. We'll utilize the remaining funding that's under that contract and then reduce the resources that we spend on corridor improvement. And that doesn't mean we won't still study corridors, but they won't be done in this particular process. Item 3.06 is planning assistance to small governments. Now, that was in the previous work program, but it was in there specifically for bicycle and pedestrian facilities. And the reality is some of these small governments need overall transportation planning guidance. And so I've just broadened the scope of that to provide some support and assistance. And again, it would be for communities like Pearson so that we can go ahead and make sure that they have a transportation vision that they can articulate to this group so we can continue to be supportive. Further down, item 3.10 is general planning studies and initiatives. We added that this year, or to this UPWP, and I'm proposing that we continue that, and that's where we have consultant support. They're not necessarily targeted for specific studies, but we're able to utilize consultants to help us with various planning issues that come up. That is also, that contract is written so that any of the local governments can piggyback off of that. So if you have a transportation issue that you hadn't anticipated and you want to utilize the consultant we have on board, or either of the consultants we have on board, that's an option. We go to the flip side, you'll see, skipping all the way down to item 5.03, we have a transit planning general consulting contract as well. And this is a request by VOTRAN to just go ahead and take the transit planning funds available and put them in a general consulting contract so that they can utilize the services of a consultant as needed rather than targeting money for specific studies. So if we look below the table itself, you'll see that on the left I have the basic fund sources. And again, these are rough estimates at this point. But we generally have about $1.1 million to spend on core projects. Now, that doesn't include grants or any other set-aside funds that we pull into the program. These are just our general planning funds. And then if you look just to the right of that, you see the total of the core projects. Again, these are the amounts of money that I have programmed for that would rely on these particular funds. And if you look at the difference, you'll see there's roughly $100,000 a year that is not programmed yet. And so we worked with a subcommittee to identify some candidate tasks. And that's what you see just below. And those involve ITS planning, intelligent transportation systems. And the idea behind this is there are different features out there that we can install and put in place that help our existing system function more efficiently. Traffic signal timing. They also help us measure so we can better understand traffic delay, for example. The second item, integrated urban planning, that's land use. That's making sure that we understand how we're developing and where different communities are heading so that we can put in place the transportation features that best support that future and make sure that the different communities understand the transportation implications of their future land uses. The third item is it says sea level rise, it could be climate change. The point is we have some weather patterns that are creating some issues, and this is an assessment of transportation and how those changes in weather may be impacting transportation and how we can best prepare for that. And then finally, there was a recommendation that any additional funds should be allocated to project development, and that is doing the feasibility studies to develop projects to be able to access funding that's available. So what I'm looking for at this point is some input, some thoughts, some guidance, some direction on whether you do or don't like any of these candidate tasks, if you think that they're appropriate, if there's something else that perhaps we haven't considered that you think is important for us to pursue. Out of the Citizens Advisory Committee, there was a recommendation that we consider some sort of a funding analysis really to look at gas tax and do an economic analysis of foregone revenue, how much we lose by people leaving and buying gas outside of the county and the tax burden. Now, there's been a lot of studying and a lot of analysis on revenues over the last few years, and I know that there are some considerations, as were mentioned earlier, with sales tax. So I'm not sure if the timing is appropriate for that particular study. The recommendation from the technical committee is that we go ahead and allocate the first $75,000 of excess funds to ITS planning, and then the remainder of any excess funds to feasibility studies and assisting with project development. So that wraps up my presentation. At this point, I would welcome any feedback or thoughts that any of you have on those particular recommendations or on the UPWP in general.
All right, anybody have a comment? Okay, Ed?
I'm just going to make one. I don't see how you can plan for something that may or may not happen, but that's the proposed climate change study. I think that's a waste of money. That's me personally. I don't think that we can control whatever the climate is doing personally. And to spend any amount of money to say that the sea level is going to rise and we're all going to be flooded, maybe we all have oceanfront property, 100 years from now. So what are they going to do to plan for that? But we are being forced to do that by the people that are pushing the agenda of, now they've changed it from global warming to climate change, which has been around since the time began. So I'll stop at that. That's just my personal opinion.
Okay. Who was first? Bob? Joe?
Yeah, not to get into a discussion on climate change, I'm just curious, is there any measurement done periodically, or say on an annual or semi-annual or whatever basis to determine the level of sea level with regard to shore areas in certain points along the coast?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of scientific data out there about what's happening with the level of the sea as well as other climate-related occurrences. I don't think in this particular case there's any thinking that, it's not a henny-penny scenario that, we're going to lose the beach peninsula or that a road is going to fall into the intercoastal. It's really more a matter of are the elevations of the roads high enough? Do we, when we build a road, need to build it a little higher than we do currently? Are there any facilities that we were building that are on our long-range plan for the next 20 years, cross or span areas where we're starting to have flooding issues that maybe didn't occur before? And that is being experienced in some areas. So it's really, the way I look at it is it's a risk management issue. Whether it happens or it doesn't happen, certainly, whether we can control it, I don't think that's the thought. The thought is let's just make sure that we're not rebuilding or building facilities that may be prone to flooding in the future and create issues. Let's make sure that we are aware of the elevation needs and that we're programming appropriately.
Okay, Bob?
Yeah, I want to further reify the thing on climate change. Clearly, we have a lot of roads in our county that are underwater at times of the year and every periodically. If this is a study to look at the potential flooding hazards along our roads, I'm not opposed to that. But cloaking it in climate change just blurs the whole thing and makes it more, argumentative. Could we rephrase that at least to say, to look at the impact, the potential impacts of flooding on our road? Because I think that's what you're looking at. And right now, I know my community and a lot of the communities, we have more than enough we know about right now. We don't have to worry about the future potential. Just address what we've already got, which are considerable. We have a lot of roads that are right now. I don't need a magic wand. I don't need a future ocean change to predict will flood. So if that's what it's about, that's okay. But could we change the title?
Certainly.
Okay, Pat?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm okay with the way it is, but if it makes others more comfortable, we can do that. However, I do know that, isn't it Cocoa Beach – that's doing something very similar. It might be helpful if we could get an update on how their project is going, because they've been working on this for a couple of years, I believe, that they started doing a study on sea level rise. They didn't necessarily call it climate change, but sea level rise and how it was impacting their community. So we might want to take a look at what they've done as well.
Yeah, the vernacular changes, I'm not familiar with the efforts in Brevard County, but we certainly have had a conversation with the Regional Planning Council
right.
to see really if they were going to do anything on a larger basis. And I think they've been trying, but they haven't been able to get everybody on board. The information is there. If you're going to run an analysis,
right.
it's easy to expand the area.
And the RPC is the one who was doing that. And for I think it was specifically for Cocoa, not for Brevard County, but for Cocoa specifically. So there is some data out there and some so.
Yeah, and I think not only, making sure that the facilities are okay, but we have stormwater systems that
sure.
are really challenged as well as a result.
Okay, any other comments or questions? All right, we'll go to Claudia for the... Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Ben.
Amongst this funding, I know you went to a lot of trouble to develop this, but I'm sitting here today and I'm hearing... Harrison's got two new schools, and I look at what Orange City went through with new schools and sidewalks, and I got to hand it to Volusia County. They really stepped up to the gun to help get that straightened out, but I would like to see if there's some way amongst this funding we can sure try and keep that from happening up there with the new school. Because there's a lot of little sidewalks off to the side that people don't notice when they reach up. This is a main road, you know, side road that feeds that main road, and stuff like that. To get all the sidewalks in place before the kids go to that first day of school, it'll make a big difference. Because I watch that right now. We've got that problem in Orange City yet, but not as bad as what you have on your first day of school when kids do not learn the route. So if... When we're looking at funding like this, if we have something that can go towards that, I think it'd be worth thinking about.
Okay, Pat, do you have another comment? Or?
Nope, I just...
All right, anybody else with comments or questions? Okay, now we'll move to Claudia with the DOT work program public hearing.
Good morning, Claudia Calzaretta at DOT. The following are projects the department is proposing to put into the tentative five-year work program. Please note that I'm only addressing a few projects. There are others which you can get more attention at the www.d5wpph.com/2013 website. Project 1 are three intersection improvements on State Road 5, US 1, at Canal Street, Reed Canal Road, and Big Tree Road. The right-of-way phases for these projects are being proposed to advance from fiscal year 2015 to the current fiscal year 2014 for approximately $1.4 million. Project 2 is a widening project from 2 to 4 lanes on State Road 15, US 17, from De Leon Springs Boulevard to State Road 40. The right-of-way phase for this project is being proposed to be advanced from fiscal year 2015 to the current fiscal year 2014 for approximately $11.3 million. Project 3 is a widening project from 4 to 6 lanes on State Road 600, US 92, from I-4 eastbound ramp to Tomoka Farms Road. The right-of-way phase is being proposed in fiscal year 2019 for approximately $10.1 million. Project 4 is a pedestrian safety project on International Speedway Boulevard, State Road 600, US 92. The design phase for this project is being proposed in the current fiscal year 2014 for approximately $180,000. The right-of-way phase is being proposed in fiscal year 2015 for approximately $1.3 million. The construction phase is being proposed in fiscal year 2015 for approximately $18.2 million. Project 5 is a resurfacing project on State Road 5A, Nova Road, from State Road 400 to International Speedway Boulevard. The construction phase is being proposed in fiscal year 2017 for approximately $2.5 million. Project 6 is a lighting interchange safety project at State Road 400 at three locations, State Road 472, Orange Camp Road, and Dirksen Road. The design phase is being proposed in fiscal year 2016 for approximately $270,000, and the construction phase is being proposed in fiscal year 2017 for approximately $3.2 million. Project 7 is the ultimate fixed system interchange project on I-95 from half a mile north of State Road 44 to 1.6 miles north of US 92. The construction phase is being proposed in fiscal year 2015 for approximately $239 million. Project 8 is the East Central Florida Rail Trail Project, Segment 4A, from Geis Road to Garber's Lodge Road. The right-of-way phase is being proposed in the current fiscal year 2014 for approximately $450,000, and the construction phase is being proposed in fiscal year 2019 for approximately $4.1 million. Project 9 is also the East Central Florida Rail Trail Project, Segment 4B, from Garbler's Lodge Road to Maytown Spur Road. The construction phase is being proposed in fiscal year 2015 for approximately $5.9 million. Project 10 is the Volusia County Transit Connector Study, formerly known as the Alternative Analysis, from Orange City to the Daytona Beach International Airport. The study phase is being proposed in the current fiscal year 2014 for approximately $2 million. Those are all the projects I have to report on. Are there any questions?
Joe?
I'm just curious, since we're talking about repaving projects over the next several years, are there any plans to repave A1A south of the recent improvements done at Daytona Beach Shores that I think that ends at Amelia? And, you know, any point, any repaving of that corridor south of Amelia.
Is that something we get I'll have to look into that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Pat?
I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's great, great program, and I'm a happy girl, particularly
thank you.
For those trail projects that you all advanced. Thank you very much.
Jason?
Thank you, Claudia. One question on the Canal Street. Is that the right turn lane, or which improvement? Is this on Canal Street?
Specifically a canal?
Yeah.
I will have to look into that to tell you exactly what we're doing.
All right.
Oh. It's a part of the intersection improvements that were in the long-range plan for a very, very long time, a whole series of intersection improvements. And I'm not exactly sure what the improvements at Canal Street involve, and we can send that information to you. But each of those, because they sat, this is an example of when a study is done, they sat for quite a long time, the Department of Transportation went out and updated that, and they did work quite a bit with the local governments to make sure that the improvements were still valid and relevant.
You hit the nail on the head. I'll follow up with you, and I'll get that clarified. Thank you.
Okay, any more questions or comments with Claudia? All right, and Claudia, you might as well go into the DOT report.
Thank you. I have one project to report on. It's a bridge repair project of 14 locations. Essentially, it's bridge deck sealing. Like I said, 14 bridges along State Road 5, State Road 44, and State Road 40. Are there any questions?
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Executive Director, report.
You know, I think sometimes when we give these presentations, we're so matter of fact, but the reality is this work program, much like last year, is huge. We got a $10 million, 10-mile section of trail funded. And, well, Pat has been dancing for a while over that. I think we all need to recognize that. That's a big advancement for this area. The systems interchange moving forward 15 years, you know, that's a huge project and extremely important to this area. And really, because it's the intersection of I-95 and I-4, it's a tremendously important project for the state. So again, there's a lot of good things happening, and I think we should at least be excited about that. The long-range plan update, we are wrapping up the actual contracting for that, and so over the course of the next few meetings, you'll start to have presentations about the long-range plan, where we're headed, public outreach that's going to be underway, the project schedule, and this is really, aside from our UPWP, kind of the core of what we do. This is how we shape where we're headed into the future. And so I would just remind folks to start thinking about that. What is important for us as a TPO and what's important for your communities so that we can be very engaged in forming that vision, that 20-year vision for this area. It will also be segueing right into the next item. It will be a key part of this year's planning retreat that we do. That particular date is going to be February 28th. I think we did send out a save the date notice. We are going to do it at the same location as last year, which is called Celebration Place. It's up fairly close to I-95 and US 1, which is kind of convenient for a lot of the members.
Where was last year, right?
Yes. We'll talk a little bit more about the UPWP as well as, again, the long-range plan and get into some planning activities for that. As far as reapportionment goes, we're kind of in a holding pattern. We submitted our plan to the office, the DOT office in Tallahassee. They sent it over to their legal department, and that's what we know. They are reviewing it, and they have to give their blessing before they send it over to the secretary, Anand Prasad, to submit to the governor. So we're waiting on that. We're also still waiting for some of the legal documents that they have to provide in order for us to complete that process. So again, right now we're just in a holding pattern, and we continue to look forward to wrapping that up and moving on. There is a handout at each of your places regarding the MPOAC Institute, which is some training for folks on what MPOs do and how we fit into the community and what your role is as a board member. Members that have gone to that in the past have been very, very happy. They got a lot out of it. I asked if I could attend so I could understand what they do well, and they said, no, it's just for board members. So I would highly encourage any of you that plan on being here for a while, if you haven't attended that, to please consider doing that. And then finally, also at your stations are the 2014 legislative priorities that we've established, not only for this particular organization, the Volusia TPO, but also for the MPOAC, which is the statewide organization, and the Central Florida MPO Alliance, which is a group of MPOs that work together here in the Central Florida area. And that's all I have.
Okay, any questions or discussion? Okay, thank you very much. And now for member comments, if we just start over here, does anyone have a comment that they would like to make? Okay, Pat?
Just a reminder to everybody that we're going to be breaking ground on two pedestrian overpasses, and Deb Denny's will be hosting the one in Edgewater, and we'll be doing one in Osteen, and we just hope that we have some of you all come out and help us celebrate. That's another big deal, so we're excited about that, and thank you, Congressman Micah, for help on that one. These are federalized projects, and he will be at the Osteen groundbreaking.
Okay, anyone else with comments? All right, then we have a move for adjournment.
So moved.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.